Well, good morning. Good morning. Good to see you today. Glad you're here. Glad you're joining us online. So, a confession. I enjoy watching sports online, or on TV. Sorry. Basically online now. But one of the things I hate is I hate watching sports when I know the outcome. I have zero desire to sit down and watch a game where I already know what's going to happen, especially if it's a team that I really, really care about. I'm wearing black today for a reason. But I will go to great lengths to avoid the score of a game. I've even thought about wearing a sign at times on my chest. I have not watched the game. Do not tell me the score. I even threaten my kids. I don't want to know anything about that. And my sons think it's the funniest thing to give me fake hints of what happened, because they know I'm going to murder them if they tell me what happened. But life isn't the same for me. I would much rather know the outcome. I wish I had that remote that allows me to pause the game, that will allow me to fast forward in life. Just fast forward through a season and see, how does it end? What happens next? What do I need to be on the lookout for? What's going to happen? And then go back and live life knowing the outcome. I think it would be a lot easier in my mind. But unfortunately, we don't get that opportunity. I think David felt that tension, wishing he could know the outcome, knowing what was going to happen and what was going to happen along the way. But unfortunately, we don't get that button. We don't get to skip forward. We have to sit through it. And sometimes it can be a long, long wait. David is at a point in his life where everything turned after he killed Goliath. He kills Goliath, and then Saul, who is the king at the time, begins to keep a close eye on David. The people begin to rally around David, singing songs about him. Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. And what was meant as praise for David became poison to Saul's heart. He began to look for opportunities. One afternoon, he sees David and he tries to pin him to a wall with a spear. David escapes. Saul sends soldiers to David's house to watch for the opportunity to kill David. And yet David somehow eludes him again. And he finds himself on the run. Multiple times ducking into caves to avoid Saul. And you arrive at this point. David has been on the run for 15 years. It's been 15 years since he killed Goliath. And Saul has been looking over his shoulder, now trying to capture and kill him. He's hiding in a cave with a band of misfits, hiding in the shadows, a fugitive who had been anointed the future king. And I want you just to imagine David and his men hiding in a cave. The cool, dark air, the quietness where you hear almost every single sound. Nervous about what happens next, unsure of what tomorrow holds, the fear Because the beauty, I think, of this psalm is that David sings this psalm with trembling hands, unsure of what tomorrow holds. And as I said last week, I want to challenge you not to turn in your Bible to the psalm and read along for just a moment. I want you just to listen and hear these words that David shares with us from a cave, hiding from Saul. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God who vindicates me. And he sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and faithfulness. I'm in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Come, let your glory cover the earth. They spread a net for my feet, and I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. But my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaching to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Come, let your glory cover the earth. Amen. David's psalm comes from a place of deep assurance, because God's past faithfulness fuels his present hope. Right? God promised David, "You will be king." And I'm guessing in David's mind, he was thinking that was probably next month or next year. Not running for his life, hiding in caves for 15 years. Waiting for God to move and act. But I think what David is certain of in this cave is that the God who promised has been faithful. And he has been faithful through every storm, and he will see his promises through to the end simply because he is good and because he is faithful. Because what he has promised, he will do. And David ducks into a cave surrounded by these men, terrified, fearful, uncertain of what tomorrow holds. But we all hide in caves, don't we? We all have those places that we like to go because they give us the illusion of safety, of cover, of control. That as long as we're here, as long as it were hidden, as long as it were covered, then we're okay. But David's refuge wasn't in the cave around him. It was in the God above him. The God who sees everything, who knows every outcome, who knows every word you will utter. And David's hope is in him and him alone. When we lived in Grandview, well, we lived in Cleburne, and we had sold our house, and some friends of ours needed someone basically to live in their parents' home because they were in a nursing home and couldn't sell it. And so it was this double-wide modular home that we got to live in for free for a few months after we sold our house. It was an incredible blessing. But one evening, a storm was rolling in, and we turned on the weather, and we start watching, and there was a tornado heading right down Highway 4 towards our house. And a modular home is not the greatest option in a tornado, but yet we didn't know where to go. And so we sat in our house. Looking back, we should have just driven somewhere, anywhere but where we were. But this tornado is coming right down the highway. It's about 2 or 3 miles from us, and they're saying, take cover, take cover, take cover. It's approaching fast. And right then, our power goes out. We lost cable. And this is at a time before technology was as advanced, and you couldn't just pull out your phone and pull up the weather as easily. So we're trying to find an old radio and tune in and listen, and we're terrified of what's fixing to happen. Now, thankfully, about a mile from our house, the storm took a turn and completely missed our house. It was amazing. But I remember in the middle of that night, sitting there and praying. And there was this very real sense of, if we could just see the light of day tomorrow, everything will be okay. If we can just wake up tomorrow morning and see the sunrise, then we will be safe and everything will be okay. But some nights don't end with the sunrise. David has been running for 15 years. And the sunrise doesn't mean the trials and the turmoil will end. The sunrise doesn't mean the heavy grief will subside. The sunrise doesn't mean the marriage will just be healed. The sunrise doesn't mean the anxiety will just go away. And David is in the midst of this storm. But this storm isn't just one night and it's over. This storm is a really long season. And it's a season that seems like it will not end. But what David has learned is God has been faithful. And he will continue to be faithful, even when it doesn't make sense in my mind, even when It's not what my eyes see. Because God is his refuge in the storm. In this present moment, as David hides in a cave, it is God who is his refuge. His prayer, "Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. And he sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and faithfulness." He tells us that they spread a net for his feet. And he bowed down in distress. That they dug a pit. But his pursuers have fallen in themselves. God is faithful, and he is the one that David puts his hope and trust in this season, in the darkness of this cave that surrounds. And I just can't imagine what's going through David's mind. Right? You promised that I would be king, and I have been running for my life. And God, there is nothing around me that looks remotely like this is fixing to happen. But my only option here in this place is to trust in you. Because I have no other options. I have nothing else that I can do. He's scared, but he chooses to worship. But it's God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness promises the dawn, even if I can't see it yet. He promises that a new day is coming, even when we don't see it, even when it doesn't make sense. And so he proclaims, "My heart is steadfast. I will sing, I will praise, I will worship you." And he says, "Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre." And then this beautiful phrase, "I will awaken the dawn." David is not waiting for the morning to come. He is not waiting for the sun to rise to praise. He's going to praise right here and now in the middle of the storm. And you could look at it and say, when we worship in the storm, it's just denial. But it is defiance. It is defiance against the powers of this dark world. It is defiance against despair. It is us saying, at the end of the day, Satan does not get the last word. At the end of the day, this cave that surrounds me is not how my story ends. At the end of the day, I will worship you, God, because you are good and because you are faithful, and you have been from generation to generation, and I know that you will continue to be faithful from generation on. David finds this immense comfort in this cave. Because the circumstances surrounding him aren't going to change quickly. But when he couldn't change his circumstances, he changed his posture. He goes from this place of trembling with fear, begging for God's mercy, to a posture of praise, declaring that this night will end, and I am going to praise God and awaken the dawn, that beautiful reminder that his mercies are made new every single morning. That no matter how dark the cave is, no matter how difficult your circumstances are, that God sees and knows, because I think that's what worship does. It reminds us not only how big and powerful our God is, but how truly small we are. And yet, in spite of all of that, in spite of how small we are, just like we said last week, the God who created us knows us. He sees us. He is concerned about our suffering. He will come down to save. That's what David's sure of. That the God who has been faithful will continue to send forth his love and faithfulness. And people will continue to see his goodness. Because the past gives him hope in the present, hope of a better future. And so he praises, "Oh God, above the heavens, come, let your glory cover the earth." It's both this prayer and proclamation. It's this prayer, "God, I want you to come and cover the earth with your glory, with your majesty." Because when that happens, my life will be rescued and redeemed. And it might not look the way I think it will. You might not save me like I assume you will. But I know this. I'm confident of this. We will see the goodness of God. And that's his prayer. But it's also this proclamation. "God, let your glory cover the earth." Because this is not David's invitation, "God, will you please join us here?" This is David's realization, reminder that God is already here, that he is already filling this place, and that it is you and I that are awakening our soul to his presence. That we are the ones that need to be reminded that God is in this place and we weren't aware of it. We are the ones that need to be reminded that he knows us and he sees us no matter how dark that cave is. This psalm is a psalm for someone who's in a season that seems like it will not end. Where it seems like there is darkness in this cave that surrounds. But David's hope isn't in that cave. It's in the God that is above all, that sees all, that knows all. And it's a reminder to you and I that the God who has been faithful will continue to be. And maybe right now you find yourself in one of those seasons. It's funny how the holidays tend to bring so much of that past to the surface. It's It's a reminder so often of someone who is not here. A reminder of the marriage that didn't work out. A reminder of the relationships that have been fractured. But let me encourage you. In the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the storm, to simply turn your gaze towards heaven. And in defiance of despair, declare, "Oh God, you are exalted above the heavens. Come, let your glory cover the earth." Father, we thank you for this day. God, we're grateful for the opportunity to gather. In the name of Jesus, we celebrate. But in the name of Jesus, we also find our hope, our peace, and our rest. God, you are exalted above the heavens. Our prayer, our proclamation is the same. Come, let your glory cover the earth. Father, we love you. And it's our prayer that you would help us today to trust. To trust when we don't see. To trust when it doesn't make sense. To trust when it's not working out the way that we assumed it would. But in the midst of the uncertainty, to lift our eyes towards Jesus and to worship him in defiance of despair. Because, Father, we know that you are good. We know that you are faithful. And the God who has been faithful will continue throughout generations. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.